different food diet.
Okay, so we're in the middle of Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25. And we are making our way through. We're somewhere in the middle, but we're going to have to go back a little bit and forward and get a sense of some of the psukim here. So just to remind ourselves, so David is on the run from Shaul, and he decides to ask for help from Nabal. And he sends his boys, he sends some young men to Nabal to ask for some assistance in, you know, providing food for him. And Nabal turns him down. And Nabal says, "Get out of my house." Basically, Nabal says, you know, he says, "Who's David? Who's the son of Yishai?" And he wants to take my bread and my water and my meat. And he says, "No way." And we should note that also that Nabal was out shearing his sheep. So it's a season where there's a lot of bounty, there's a lot of food around, and he was going to make a great feast, which we might get up to today. So there's plenty of food to go around, and yet Nabal says no. So David is not happy about this. According to the Medrash, it was right before Rosh Hashanah. And David's not pleased with Nabal, and David plans to wipe out Nabal and his family by morning. So Nabal's servants come to Nabal's wife, Abigail. And they say, "Abigail, this is what happened. You know, David and his men helped us, and they came to ask Nabal for help, and he turned them down." So he turned them down, and they say to Abigail, "Now, you know, we're going to be in trouble because of this." So Abigail gathers up a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see, maybe we'll pick up that pasuk. That pasuk is Yud Ches, verse 18. It says, "Vatimaher Abigail, and Abigail hurried, vatikach masayim lechem, ushnayim nivleyayin." She took 200 loaves of bread and two, you know, casks of wine. Chamesh tzon asuyos, five sheep prepared, and all kinds of food, and she brings it to David. She comes to David, and I want to read a pasuk chaf. Pasuk chaf, verse 20. It says, "V'haya hi rocheves ala chamar," and she was riding on the donkey, "v'yoredes b'seser hahar," and she was going down in the hidden part of the mountain, seemingly the valley, although that's a curious expression, Seser Ahar, and the Gemara is going to darshan it. The Gemara that we're going to learn today is going to darshan those words, Seser Ahar. "Vine David v'anashav yardim l'krasa," David and his men were going down to greet her, "v'atifko shosam," and she met them. And David sees her, you know, the lad and donkeys, doesn't realize that they're for him. He thinks that they're just, you know, Nabal's food. And he says, "Wow, look how much food Nabal has. What a rasha that he turned me down, that he wouldn't help me." And he swears, you know, that nobody should remain from Nabal's camp. Abigail hears this. She runs to David and she bows to him and she says, you know, the sin is with me. She tries to get his attention. It's my fault. And then she says, "Actually, my husband Nabal is really just a terrible guy. And I wasn't there when your servants came. And had I been there, I would have helped." So let's pick up now Pasuk Chaf Zayin, verse 27. It says there, Ve'atah ha'berocha hazos asher hevi shivchoscha l'adoni. And now this blessing that your maidservant has brought to my master, V'nitna l'ne'arim ha'mishalchim. Actually, sorry, I want to read the previous pasuk also, because we're going to talk about that also. Let's go back to Chaf Vav 26. She says, Ve'atah Adoni. And now my master, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha. She says, she swears, you know, by the life of God and by your life, Asher minacha Hashem mibo v'damim. That Hashem has prevented you from coming into blood, meaning from murder. That the way we explained it last week, and to this David, I think it was, says that she told David, you know, this entire course of events that my lads told me and I was able to meet you, and it was all Hashem's orchestration in order that I should prevent you from committing a murder of Naval and his people and his men. The Oshaya Yad Chalach, and he's, you know, your hand has been saved against doing this. The Ata, and she says, and now, Yiyu Chenaval Aivecha, your enemies should be like Naval, Vamevakshim al Adoni Ra, and those who wish evil. And Rashi says over here that this was a nevuah. This was a prophecy. Avigail was a prophetess, that she was prophesizing that Naval would be like David's enemies, meaning he would fall. And it could be here she even means like he should wither. He should be Naval. He should wither and die. And Rashi says it was a prophecy, and indeed, as we'll see, Naval did not live another... He died 10 days later. 10 days later was Yom Kippur. He died on Yom Kippur. Okay. So there's a very fascinating Gemara that really shares a whole different story.
She could write donkey on if it was her Jonah, she can carry on the field.
It's a good question, but on Yantif you're allowed to carry. So carrying wasn't a problem.
But they have animals there.
Right, so can you load? Is it mechamer, loading a donkey? I don't know, not sure if that were maybe tzarech ochel nefesh. I don't know what I'm not sure. Maybe it was before Yom Tov still when she did that. Because I think that night was going to be Yom Tov. Although, the Gemara says when she arrived now, it was Yom Tov. It was nighttime. Now, this Gemara is not saying it was Yom Tov. That's a different Gemara, but this Gemara is saying it was nighttime. So the Gemara has a whole different story behind what's going on here. So the Gemara is in Megillah. The Gemara is discussing who were all the prophets and who were all the prophetesses. Who were the female prophets? And among the list it says Avigail was a prophet. So the Gemara wants to know, where do we find that Avigail had prophecy? So interestingly, the example that the Gemara brings is not this example that Rashi just said, that she prophesied that Naval would die. It's a different prophecy. So the Gemara says this as follows. It says, Avigail, how do we know that Avigail was a Neviah, was a prophet? Dechsiv, because it says, and it goes back to this pasuk that we just read, 25. Sorry, it's not 25, it's 20. Pasuk Chaf, where it says, V'hayahi rocheves ala chamor, and she was riding on the donkey, the Yoredes Besesarahar, and she was going down the hidden part of the mountain. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, going down the hidden mountain? Minahar mi bayilei. It should say that she was going down from the mountain. What does it mean, the Sesarahar? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Melamed, this teaches us, Sheba al iske hadam habam ning astarim. She was coming about a matter of blood, which comes from the starim, the seser, the hidden part of the body, that she had a hilchos nida shaila. Right? There are five types, midaraisa. There are five types of red blood that make a woman tamei. If she sees, she becomes a nida if her body produces these colors of blood. Nowadays, midarabanan were machmir, were stringent for any red. But in those days, they could discern the five specific types of dam. And she had a nida shaila. And when you have a nida shaila, you want to know if it's dam nida, if it's the blood that makes you impure. So you bring it to the rabbi. So she was coming to David with her nida shaila to present to him the dam to see if this is dam, if this blood will make her tamea. And that was the seser. That was the that she was coming with dam haba ming astarim. Now. Why does it say hahar then? What's the drasha on hahar? The Gemara doesn't say, but the Iyon Yaakov suggests that it has to do with the word horim. Horim umarim, those who are more hara, that give, they paskin. So b'seser hahar, she was taking the seser, the hidden thing, to hahar, to the more hara, to the posek. Doesn't say. So Amar La. So David responded to her, "V'chiroin dam balayla? Are you allowed to check dam at night?" So it's actually a machlokas if you're permitted to check the dam at night. You know, nowadays we have better lighting, but even still, it's not the same checking it by sunlight or checking it by. You know, electricity, you know, superficial, fake light.
We have all different types of
right. Even the daylight light bulbs are not the same as the actual sunlight. And the sunlight is the best for checking dam. So there's actually a machlokas in the Gemara if you're allowed to check the blood at all while it's nighttime. So there, this Gemara is assuming that you're not. So David says to her, "Are you allowed to check the blood at night? I can't check this for you." Now, how do we know it was nighttime? How does the Gemara know it was nighttime? So the Mefarshim point out that David had said, "If I leave over one person till the morning, I'm going to kill everyone," he said, "by morning." So that's how we know it was nighttime. So it was nighttime, she brought the blood, and she said, and David said, "I can't check it, it's nighttime." Now she was really setting him up. She was setting him up, because she knew that you can't check it at nighttime. So why was she coming to ask him this question? Because she wanted to be able to respond, and she does. She says, "V'chidanen dine nefashos balayla? Are you allowed to judge a capital case at night? A Bastin only sits by daytime." Really, not just for a capital case, but for Mamonos also, but for a capital case, certainly you can't judge at night. The idea here is that the difference is that you can't even finish a capital case at night. You can't finish it in one day. You always need, when it comes to a capital case, you need the night to pass so that people have time to think about it, to think of ideas, and come back in the morning and reconvene. So she said, "How could you paskin the halacha at night that he deserves to die? You know, you can't judge dine nefashos, capital cases, at night." That was her. That was what she was really planning to tell David, and that's what she said. So Amar La. So David said to her, "Morid b'malchuso." No, this is different. He's a morid b'malchus. He's rebelling against the king. He doesn't need to be judged. Morid b'malchus doesn't need judgment. You're getting ahead of yourself here. You're getting ahead of her. Yeah, that's going to be her response. So she's like, he's not the king yet. But he is. He's been anointed as king. He's been anointed as king.
Nobody knows him, man.
Yeah. So that's what she said. Amrale, she said to him, Adayin Shaul Kayamu, Shaul is still alive. Velo yatza tivacha ba'olam. And your knowledge, people don't know that yet, that you're king. So that was basically her response. Nabal is not a Murid b'malchus because he's not rebelling against the king because you're not the king yet. Shaul is still alive. People don't realize that you've been anointed, and so you can't blame him for this. Now this question, this response that she said you, or that David said he's a Murid b'malchus and he doesn't need to be judged. Now that's an interesting response, especially when we contrast that with a Gemara that we mentioned last week, a Chazal that we mentioned last week, because last week we learned a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, and it says, Vayomer David Lanash. And then David said to his men, Chigru Isha Scharbo. This is when David's men first come back and say, Nabal's not giving us any food. So, here, it should be right here. Here you go. Chigru Isha Scharbo. Everybody should gird their swords. Vayachru Isha Scharbo. And each man girded his sword. Vayachru Gam David Scharbo. And David also girded his sword. Now, what is this pasuk about? You know, and they girded their sword, and he girded their sword, and what's this all about? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that this was the Beis Din deciding whether he deserves to die. And we learn from here that the Gemara learns from here that the Gadol, the greatest person on the court, has to give his decision last. And when they were girding their sword, that was saying, or it could be they were drawing their swords. Chigru usually means girding, but they were indicating that they held that he's married b'malchus. Nabal is a rebellion against the king, and he deserves to die. And David girded his sword last; he gave the final decision. That's what the Gemara says. So according to that Gemara, they were holding a court case, right? They were holding a court case, and they paskined that he deserves to die.
Earlier in the day,
when it was right, earlier in the day. But this Gemara says, David says he's a Marid Malchus. We don't need to judge him. He doesn't need to be judged. So that seems to be a contradiction. One Gemara says that they judged him, and the other one says that they don't need to be judged. So Tosfos in Megillah asks this question. He asks this contradiction, as Tosfos classically does, points out a contradiction between two Gemaras. And Tosfos says, that when the Gemara here says that by Morid v'Malchus, someone who's rebelling against the king, he doesn't need to be judged, it doesn't mean he doesn't need to be judged at all. It means the same rules don't apply in terms of the judgment. Meaning, normally, when it comes to capital cases, you judge it during the day, and as I mentioned, you need to wait a full night and come back in the morning and reconvene in the morning before you officially sentence the guy to death. You have to give new justifications and vindications on his behalf. However, this is different. What you were saying was Morid v'Malchus is different. We can judge it during the day, and we don't need to wait till morning to seal it. It can be sealed already now. And that's what he was responding, that since he's a Morid v'Malchus, we can seal the deal now. We don't have to wait till morning to paskin to rule and seal him for death.
But already made decision.
What? Right. And that was okay. Because they don't have to wait till the morning. They already paskined that he was, you know, chai of misa, that he deserved to die, and sentenced him to death. But now she came and gave a new justification. And she said, well, it's not fair. because you're he's not a Marid B'Malchus, because you're not the king yet, because Shaul is still alive, and people don't know that you're the king. Now, there is a discussion in the commentaries what exactly her claim was. Was her claim that you are not king, and David did not actually have the status of king? Or maybe no, maybe he did have the status of king. And really, if somebody knew that he was king, they would be Murid B'Malchus. But she was saying that people don't know that you're king, and therefore you can't find them guilty of being Murid B'Malchus for rebelling against the king, who they don't even know is king. So that's a discussion what exactly her claim was, but it was one of those two. Either you're not king, or maybe no, really his status was king, but since people didn't know, so you can't, you know, hold them responsible for being Murid B'Malchus. Yeah.
Was her, under the idea that she's bringing, she wants him to check the blood, was her belief of David as a possible decider of that based on him being king?
No.
Or independently?
Independently.
Guy about 18 years old is smarter than whoever. Yeah.
Right, I don't know if he's still 18. I think he's older, but he's a...
Shaul reigned for 2 years, right?
So you're saying, all right, he's still, you're right, not much time has passed. Yeah, I mean, he's a Talmud Chacham, you know, so she could go to him. Also, I think that she's really setting him up. She's trying to set him up.
She was in the BS when she had known that Shmuel had anointed him as king.
No, she's not saying that.
So she knew he was king, but she's saying Nabal.
Right, right. And it doesn't. And just because she's a prophet doesn't mean she knows everything. It could be she did know, but the fact that she's a prophet, you know, she got specific prophecies. You know, so.
It seems directly related to what came subsequently.
Okay. So now the Gemara gets even more interesting. So the Gemara goes on, and it quotes a pasuk which we... let's see how many psukim later this is. Okay, let's keep reading and we'll come back to the Gemara. So we're gonna go now from Pasuk Chafches, verse 28. Okay. So Abigail now is still, she just, 27, Chaf Zayin. She says, V'ata ha-beracha hazos. And now here is the blessing, Asher hevi shivchascha l'adoni, that your maidservant has brought to my master, V'nitna l'ana'arim, let it be given to the lads, ha-mesalchim beragle adoni, who are going along with my master. Now she really means it should go to David also, but it's not so honorable to say, oh, you know, here's food for you. So she couches it in, here's food for your lads, for your servants, and of course the food will also be for David. Now there is an interesting question, which is, does a woman have a right to give something that her husband doesn't want to give? Does a woman right? The halacha is that mashakana ishakana bala, that which belongs to, well, actually even before that, in general, the possessions within a family structure belong to the husband, and that's just how it works in halacha. So right. So does a woman have the right, if the husband says, I don't want to give this tzedakah, right? In this case, someone came to knocking on their door. They said, we need food, we need tzedakah. The husband said no. And now the wife loads up these donkeys and brings them to them. Is a wife allowed to override her husband and give tzedakah, give away the food that he doesn't want to give away? So, So this question came to the Noda Yehuda as a not, you know, nothing as a general question, not about this Gemara specifically. The question was that if a woman knows that her husband is very stingy and he doesn't give tzedakah based on how much money they have, you know, they have plenty of money, but he's stingy and he doesn't give it away. Is she allowed to give it away?
So he's not giving Maisa.
I don't know.
If he says, I'm giving Maisa, then he's violating the Raisa.
No, Maisir. No, Maisir Ksafim is not the Raisa. The tenth of one's income is not. It's a minhag, even. It's not even the Rabbanah. It's a minhag. Probably, most likely. So, anyways, so putting that aside, she knows that he doesn't want her to give it. Is she allowed to give it away? So the Noda Yehuda says, absolutely not. Chas v'shalom l'kabel mimena. The question was really from the recipient. Are you allowed to accept it from her? Are you allowed to accept the tzedakah? You know that the husband doesn't want to give it, but the wife wants to give it. Are you allowed to accept the tzedakah?
Well, it can create friction and fight between husband and wife, so it can destroy.
Yeah, that's a different question. This is a halachic question in mamonos. We want to know money. Hilchos mamonos.
He wasn't asked.
No, this comes in as, in terms of the proofs, but. This comes in terms of the proofs.
Does it have to do whether it's a large
Yeah,
amount
it does. It does. So we seem to be talking about here about a large amount. Well, no, it doesn't really have to do with a large amount, because even if it's a small amount, but he cares, then it's still a problem. The reason why a small amount is generally okay is because we assume that he doesn't mind a small amount. But here we're talking about whatever amount it is, we know the husband doesn't want to give it. Is the wife allowed to give it? Are you allowed to accept it from the wife? So the Noda Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, say absolutely not. Chas v'shalom akavli mena, chas v'shalom to accept it, v'hu gezel gamor. It's completely stealing to accept it from the wife.
Assuming it's his property, it's not Barzel property.
Now, based in, coming back to the question of, yeah, we're assuming that. Coming back to the question about tzedakah, he says, based in may have the right to force a man to give tzedakah, but that doesn't mean the wife can. She's not based in. He says, who made her into the based in? She's not the based in. She has no right to force her husband to give tzedakah. The based in maybe could force, but that's a different story. Chas v'shalom to accept it from her. He says, and the Noda Yehuda was responding to a certain Rav who agreed to this point. He said, you're absolutely right. And there was a different Rav who had said that it's okay, and says the Noda Yehuda, and that Rav who argued and said that she's allowed to do it, machzik yidei over yaveira, he is strengthening the hands of transgressors, and he's absolutely wrong. You're not allowed to accept it from her.
She was trying to save his life. It was Rosh Hashanah, was saying the Tefillah Tzedakah.
Okay, so 1 second. So that says the Noda Yehuda that now that other rabbi who said it's okay tried to bring a proof from our story. Because in our story, that's what happens. David goes, he sends his men to Naval for Tzedakah. Naval says no. And then Naval's wife, Abigail, brings out the tzedakah, brings out the food to them. So you see, apparently, that it is permitted to accept. And David accepts it. So it is permitted to accept from the wife, even though the husband doesn't want to give it. So says the Noda Yehuda, no, there's no raya, there's no proof from there. He has three reasons why it might not be a proof. He says, number one, she was doing this to save her husband's life. Right? Not in terms of Rosh Hashanah, in terms of David had said, I'm going to kill that man. And she came and appeased David by giving him food. What? Right, so he doesn't kill Naval. So when you're saving the husband's life by giving away his money, then it's permitted. One reason. He says also, maybe it was hers. Maybe it was hers. She has some possessions. So now he says later the Chachamim established that that which a woman acquires, the husband acquires, Vashakana Ishakana Bala, That's midrabbanan, that's rabbinic. And it depends really on the situation, and but that wouldn't necessarily apply in those times. She may have had her own possessions, and the third answer is maybe this, even though it seems like a lot, maybe it's only considered a davar muat, maybe it's only considered a small amount for them. And even though Neville didn't want to give it, but maybe if his wife wanted to give it, he would have allowed it. So now you, that answer is a little bit harder, you know, because then you might try to apply that to other situations. So leaving that last answer aside, but in general, Nota Buta says, if a husband does not want to give tzedakah, the wife cannot give it away. You can't accept it from her. And there's no proof from here, because here maybe it was different. Here maybe it was to save Neville's life. Or maybe it was her possessions. That's no debut. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28. Sa na lefesha amasecha. Abigail says, you know, bear the sin of your maidservant. Ki aso yase Hashem l'adoni bayis ne'eman. Because Hashem is going to make for you a bayis ne'eman, a lasting house. Again, it sounds like she's prophesizing. You're going to be king. You're going to have a lasting house. Ki milchamos Hashem Adoni nilcham. Because my master David, you fight the wars of God. V'ra'lo simatze v'cham yamecha. And no evil will befall you in your days. So the way that Rashi learns this pasuk is she was saying, you're going to be king, so therefore there shouldn't be any wrong on your hands, there shouldn't be any evil on your hands, and so it's not proper for you to kill Neville, because that's going to be a bad name for your kingdom. When you become king, right, they're going to dig up all the dirt on you, like they do nowadays, right? They're going to dig up all the dirt on you. And they're gonna, and if they find that you killed someone before you became king, that's not going to look good on your record. And specifically, the Mefarshim talk about, you know, when you're trying to enforce something, let's say someone's married to Malchus or whatever it is, and you're trying to enforce something, well, people aren't going to trust you because, you know, look, you did before you were king, you used your force for, you know, improperly, so people aren't going to trust you. So she says, this is not, you know, it's not a good idea.
They were misreading it and maybe splitting hairs a bit. When David's people go to Naval, they go to Naval's people and make a request, and he denies it. They're not specifically talking about anything, any of the items that Abigail actually gave.
Right.
Doesn't specify the items.
Right.
So, you know, she's really splitting hairs. Well, maybe he didn't want to give them something else.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. You know, they wanted food, and he...
I know, but we are at a place where we're splitting hairs.
Yeah. Okay, Chaf Tes, 29. Vayakam Adam lir Dafcha. And she, Abigail continues, and she says, and the man got up to chase you, meaning Shaul chased you. Ulevakesh es nafshecha. And to seek out your life. The Haisa Nefesh Adoni Tzerura B'Tzerar HaChayim. So this is we use this term when we do like a Kelmale, when we remember a neshama, the soul of someone. She says, the soul of my master, of David, of you, should be Tzerura B'Tzerar HaChayim. It should be like wrapped up in the one who wraps up life, meaning your neshama should be close to God. Es Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God. The Es Nefesh Ayvecha Yikalena, and the soul of your enemy, he should slingshot Bisoch Kafa Kala in the fist, in the gripper of the slingshot. So an interesting comparison here. She says, your soul should be wrapped up in the protector of life. Should be your soul should be close to God, and the soul of your enemy should be slingshotted around. What's she saying? What is she saying? So there's, I guess, a pashup shat, a more simple level, and then a deeper level. So the Radak says, that on a simple level, she's just saying you should be protected, you should be safe. Those who chase you shouldn't be able to find you, and they should get tossed around. You know, those who try to chase you should get tossed around like a slingshot. That's the more surface level. On the surface, on the deeper level, she's saying that your soul should be protected for Olam Haba, for the world to come. And the Radak quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that the souls of tzaddikim, they get stored under the Kisei HaKavod, under the throne of glory. They have a close, you know, they become very close to God. And it quotes this pasuk. And those souls of Rishayim, what happens to the souls of evildoers? So they get tossed around from one end of the earth to the other, and they have no rest. Like this pasuk says, Yikalena b'sof chafago, they get slingshotted all around, and they have no rest.
So since we have a slingshot ahead of Kapsbra,
sounds like Russian
machine.
I'm not familiar with it, but probably.
I've heard it a number of times.
Yeah, it must be from this pasuk. Yeah.
There's a concept here that if you're a super rusher, you get slingshotted back and forth.
So that, yeah, I guess that comes from here. I'm not familiar with that concept, but okay.
Back and forth where?
Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed Vahaya, and it will be Kiyase Hashem Ladoni. When Hashem does to my master, Kichosher Diber, all that he has said, Asatova Lefa, all the good that he said he's going to do for you, Vitivcha Lenagid Al Yisrael, and he will command you, he will make you, appoint you as the leader of the Jewish people. Lamed Aleph 31, Velosia Zos Lecha Lefuka Ulemichshol Leiv Ladoni. This should not be a trap, something to trip you up for my master. Velishbach Dam Chinam, and to spill blood for no reason. Loshia Adoni Lo, and it's to save my master. Vehetiv Hashem Ladoni, and Hashem should do good for my master. Vizacharta Samasecha, and she ends up and she says, and you should remember your maidservant. Remember me for this, for saving you from this tragedy. So what was she saying? So again, on a simple level, she was saying, you know, David, this isn't, you know, the you gotta just chill out, okay? The insults that Nabal threw at you when you become king, it's not gonna mean anything to you. It's not gonna affect you, it's not gonna trip you up in any way. The people aren't going to remember that Nabal did this to you, and it doesn't matter. And in fact, on the other, Adarabba, on the contrary, you know, when you if you don't kill him, so that's going to be better for you. Then you won't be embarrassed, because if you do kill him, people will say, "Oh, he's a murderous man! Like, look, he's so vengeful!" And you're better off not doing anything. That's the simple understanding of this pasuk. And David responds, "Vayomer David laAvigayo," and David said to Avigayo, "Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is God, the God of Israel, Asher Shalachech Hayom Azel Ikrasi, who has sent you today to greet me." So first of all, David thanks God. First thing, right? He recognizes the Yad Hashem in this, the hand of Hashem in this, and it's not. This isn't your doing, Avigayo. This is This Hashem is doing. Hashem orchestrated events that you should be here to save me and to stop me from doing this. Ubaruch taimeich, and blessed is your reasoning. You were very reasonable. Uvrucha at, and you are blessed. Asher kilisini hayom azem ibo v'damim, that you are preventing me today from causing blood spill. Ve'osheya yadi li, and you've saved my hand. Okay. Now we can go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara continues after... The Gemara quotes this pasuk. The Gemara says that David says, blessed is your reasoning, blessed are you, that you're preventing me today, mibo vidamim, from coming into blood. But blood is spelled plural, bloods. From interacting with bloods.
Well, he has servants and probably guards, so they might get killed too.
That's the simple understanding. Says the Gemara, Amarav trei damim, two types of blood here that she prevented him. What are the two? Murder and dam nida, and that she was a nida. Now, what is the fact that she was a nida, she was impure, have to do with David? Because David had a desire for her. The Gemara says, Milamed shegilsa shoka, she revealed her leg. Now the Mefarshim wonder what exactly that means. How could she have, you know, is she trying to tempt David? So some Mefarshim say, no, she didn't do this in front of him. She was far away, but he saw her. He saw her, you know, and he had a temptation, he desired her. The halach David le'ura shalosh parsos, it says he traveled three parsas, a great distance, you know, from his desire, he traveled towards her. The amarla, and he said to her, he shamili, listen to me. And this is an earlier pasuk, I believe, that it quotes. Okay, I don't see right now where that pasuk is, but he says he shamili, he says listen to me, which was he was asking for her, and she says amrlo velosiezos lechal lefuko lemechshol. No, this shouldn't be a trap for you. That was the pasuk that we just read, verse Lamed Aleph, pasuk 31, where she says this shouldn't be a tripping. You know, you shouldn't trip on this. This shouldn't be a trap for you. And she says no. You know. Obviously, she turns him down. This is not a good idea, David. This is not what's supposed to happen. Now the Gemara says, she says this shouldn't be a trap for you. Says the Gemara, what does she mean? This. Says the Gemara, the implication is that at another time he would fall for a woman. We see that there's another situation like this. And what is that? Maisa de Batsheva. That's the story of with Batsheva, another woman that David had, you know, desired, and we'll learn about it later, but he...
In one respect, it's similar.
It's very similar. Both of them are married right now, but both of their husbands are rebelling against the king. David wants them dead. There's a lot of similarities in the story, and a lot of comparisons to Mefarshim. And that's what she was saying, though. She was saying, no, no, no. It shouldn't happen this time. But there was a nevuah in that. There was a prophecy in that, that it's going to happen again. It's going to happen later. Umayniyu, that's Basheva, maskana hachihava, and that's what happened in the end. That's what the Gemara says was her prophecy. When she said, the Gemara right there, that's how we started this Gemara. How do we know Abigail was a prophetess? Because she said, this shouldn't be, a mistake for you, implying that later he will indeed make a mistake like this. Now what we have to do next time is understand a little bit. It's not normal for Chazal to take a tzaddik and start reading in all these things that seem negative about him that are not in the verses. It's not in the psukim. We find that by a rasha, by someone who's evil. So Chazal kind of heap on more, you know, drushas that build on that. But someone who's a tzaddik, why are they introducing this whole story when there's no clear indication of this in the verses? Or maybe there is, and that's a question that we should deal with next time. All right.